Wednesday, May 9th, 2018. Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant, independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Well, the last few days have been pretty disheartening. There's a lot of stuff going on, and that should almost go without saying that it's not even in any way being covered by the mainstream media. Whether we're talking about CNN covering how the Ford suspends the F-150, or Michael Cohen and Stormy Daniels and all the different stories that are just on the front page of all of the main channels. Again, I know a lot of people get frustrated that I continually point that out, but I think it's very important to show you how this stuff is getting absolutely no coverage. And it is some of the largest things that have happened in a very long time. And all these channels claim to be covering world news, and yet this is what we're talking about. It's just, it's a lot going on, and I think it's stuff that is really beginning to show us, kind of break through the veil here and begin to show us what's really going on, more so than a lot of things we've seen happen in recent days. And a lot of this kind of revolves around Syria, Iran, Israel, some of the largest things we've seen happen. And in particular, the Senate hearing of Gina Haspel and how that all went down. So we'll dive through this today. And I've also been really trying to keep these concise for you, like the title says, generally 15 to 20 minutes. But again, there's been so much going on that I feel like I've really tried to cut out what I could, but I have to get you guys what's most important. But I will do my best to continue to make it really just about an overview and let you guys do the research yourself, which is what this is all about. My job is to show you what's going on, what I think is most important, give you a quick rundown, and let you do the research yourself, because that's what's really important today, is not just regurgitating what you hear, but understanding these things for yourselves. So the first thing I want to get into here today is what's happening with Israel. And man, again, with not even a peep on these mainstream channels, we're seeing open war take place with Israel and Syria. So it started with the nuclear deal where Donald Trump pulls out, and like immediately after Donald Trump pulls out, we see Israel start activating bomb shelters in Golan Heights. And so the important thing to understand in this dynamic is first that Israel's been openly bombing Syria for a long time now, unprovoked. And now all of a sudden we're seeing this start, and they continue. They're basically using the pretense of saying, "Oh well, Iran's starting to do something," so they start to attack Syria again, and which has happened many, many times. But it's just yesterday Israel already attacked Damascus. But starting even today, in an entirely new event, we've seen a huge escalation. It's Israel's attacking Syria, or Iran in Syria, claiming that it's retaliating for Iran shelling out of Syria. Now, another important point to understand here is that even if Iran is, and this hasn't necessarily been confirmed, because now it's been going back and forth, and it hasn't been really confirmed who actually started this, but regardless of whether Iran is the one that started it now, like I said, Israel has been openly attacking Syria and Iran in Syria and just Syria for quite some time, unprovoked. So this is really important to understand, that even if Iran was the one that started it yesterday and today, it's Israel that's the real catalyst behind all of this. And so we have to see that going forward. And again, I find it wildly revealing that such a major world event is not being covered at all by Fox, CNN, MSNBC, any of it, because it's Israel. And I think that it's almost like the pulling out of the Iran deal was like a green light for Israel. And they just felt like they could just begin open attacks, more so than before. So this is going to be something, this is an ongoing event right now. We're going to continue to keep it up on the website so you guys can check back and see what's going on. But right now we're seeing some just open aggressions carrying out. And another important point to make is that if Israel's even to be believed here, which there's no reason to take them at their word when they've been shown to be lying about many things leading up to this, in particular about Iran and Syria. But if they're to be believed, this would be the very first time out of all the unprovoked attacks that the Syrian army has retaliated against Israel for strikes on Syrian territory. That's a very important thing to understand, that regardless of all the previous attacks, if they were the first ones to start this, this would be the first time. But I think the largest point to take away from this is that Israel is claiming to be defending itself, as always. But we have to understand that the area that they're discussing defending is the Golan Heights, which is an illegally occupied area. It's a Syrian territory, and they're claiming to be defending themselves while holding an illegally occupied territory in Syria. I mean, that's absolutely ridiculous, and that's something that nobody ever in the mainstream media ever covers when they even brush over these stories, the fact that Israel is occupying, just like the U.S. is currently occupying parts of Syria. Israel is occupying a part of Syria in the Golan Heights, and now it's claiming to be defending itself, which is just ridiculous. And what's even more interesting, kind of going back to the nuclear deal, is that Trump made the claim that everybody was behind him. And I mean, I highly recommend you check out the video from yesterday and how I just break down the points he makes. But a lot of that was absolute nonsense, completely baseless claims. But the one where he made it seem like everybody was with him is completely falling apart today. Where the next article coming from the anti-media, UK, France, Germany warns US not to block them from staying in Iran nuclear deal. That is a huge thing to happen. And again, despite the fact that he made it seem like everybody was behind him, it's now being shown that absolutely no one is with him geopolitically, even the people you might expect. So Britain, France, and Germany have issued statements following his withdrawal, claiming they're actually warning the U.S. that they must, quote, avoid taking action which obstructs the rest of the signatories from continuing with the Iran nuclear deal. This seems to be exactly what the U.S. intends, however, with Ambassador Richard Greenall warning German companies that they better wind down any business ties that they currently have with Iran. Greenall warned U.S. sanctions will target Iran's economy, and this is likely to include any European companies doing business with them. These early signs point to the Trump administration expecting everything to go back to the pre-2015 Iran deal levels, where Iran is under kind of an effective global trade ban. No one seems to be interested in that, however, since the U.S. made this decision unilaterally over the objection of all the signatories, many likely to continue to resist the U.S. demands moving forward. And I think that is a very huge point that this is where it gets into where I'm not sure how I feel about how this went down, whether or not Donald Trump is kind of just being corralled and manipulated by his administration, very demonstrable war hawks that he's kind of brought into the administration moving forward and plenty that he had from beforehand. So the question is he being manipulated? Did he think everyone was behind him? Or is he just a willing part in this manipulation? Because either way, we're being manipulated. I mean, that's the point, is this was the absolute worst thing that could have happened. Not to rehash all the points from yesterday, but the bottom line was Iran was completely adhering to the deal, and everyone was acknowledging the fact that it was actually doing exactly what it was supposed to do. And now pulling out of this deal and even seeing everybody else continuing it, including Iran, is a very bad thing for the United States, especially since Trump is now clearly going to feel obligated to continue to enforce this, which kind of pits him against everybody else in the world. But that kind of seems like where we were going in the first place. So let's move on to the Senate hearing for Gina Haspel. And I think that's something that really gave us some insight into just this faux democracy, the way that these things really play out. And a comment that I left on the Washington Post live feed, just to kind of hopefully reach some people that don't see what's really going on. I say, this Senate hearing was a ridiculous exercise in forcefully repetitious social programming and an effort to give the CIA's image a facelift as some adventurous career path for young patriots. And as usual, any talk of illegal acts, torture, or other atrocities are brushed aside by saying, well, 9/11, right? And that she was just following orders. So she should not be blamed, except that this time it's different, because this time she will not break the law, as is literally the CIA's job, if ordered. But that is absolute nonsense. What has changed since then? Nothing. In fact, it's gotten worse. They just know how to keep it from us now, and they know how to lie first, so we stop looking. Anyone who believes either that the CIA, quote, follows the law, or that Gina Haspel would ignore a direct order because of her sound moral compass, are being willfully ignorant of reality. Now, I think that really does sum up what, at least kind of the overarching points that I have to make about this hearing. And I think it's important to understand two points in that specifically. That one, the CIA's job is literally to lie and break the law. That's what they do. And I think there's a lot of information out there for you to check out to really understand that. But this weird idea that she shouldn't be held accountable because she was following orders, There's a very reminiscent of the Nuremberg trials and the idea of Nazi Germany. I think that's kind of been established in our history. So this idea that they forcefully kind of say many times that, oh, well, she shouldn't be held accountable for anything because she was just doing what she was told is pretty ridiculous. But this hearing was very hard to watch in a lot of different ways. There were some great questions asked. I always have to give them that. There were some people that really stuck it to her. But in general, I think this was just a ridiculous exercise in maintaining the status quo. Now, there's a few articles I want to go over quickly, and one was from the Free Thought Project, where they simply make the point that the Senate is confirming a war criminal as CIA head, and they won't be shown most of her record. And the point they're making there is that basically the CIA, although they were asked many times by many different senators to release all of her information, to declassify all of her background so they could know what she really did and what she's all about, and instead they gave them very limited, highly, blacked out and classified information. So they really got a small part of what she actually did, despite the asking for all the information. So the point is they don't know anything. They're only being spoon-fed exactly what they want them to know about her, which is ridiculous at the end of the day. The next one is one that really upset me, and it's a video that I'm going to show you. Basically, the title is Watch CIA Veteran, 78 years old, Get Dragged Out of Hospital Confirmation and Tackled by Capitol Police. This is a video of Ray McGovern, who is a former CIA analyst of 27 years. He received an Intelligence Commendation Medal at his retirement, and he's since become an outspoken anti-war and anti-police state activist. He actually returned that medal in 2006 in protest to the CIA's involvement in torture. He's also a Vietnam War veteran. And there's really no one better to show you what's really going on than someone that's been there, done that, the CIA and Vietnam War. And this is someone that really has really made a name for himself for standing up and speaking out about these things. Now, during the hearing here, McGovern demanded that Haspel answer questions about her torture of terrorism suspects at a CIA black site in Thailand, which she refused to answer. And he stands up and he tries to state his case. Now, you could argue that this Senate hearing is not the most ideal location to do this kind of thing. But the bottom line is, as I said, this hearing was kind of a ridiculous runaround. And not only in the beginning did they just gush about what a great person she was and how perfect she was for this before questions were even asked, just kind of setting the tone for the entire hearing, but she refused to answer all these questions. Now he stands up and he starts speaking his mind and demanding that she answer for the American people.
Stop resisting!
And in many respects, you guys go into secret
fighting!
Stop resisting!
I'm not resisting.
Yes, you are.
No,
give me your arm.
I'm lying on.
Give me your arm.
It's dislocated, man.
Give me your arm.
My left arm is.
Give me your arm.
My left arm is dislocated. Damn it!
Give me your arm.
Understand?
Stop hurting him.
Don't you understand? My left arm is. Ah!
Hold on.
Stop fighting.
I'm not fighting. I'm on the ground. And if you'd let me get my glasses on, I can see what's happening.
You're hurting him.
You guys are hurting me.
Stop hurting him.
I'm immobilized. You're going to dislocate my shoulder again. And look, would you pick up my glasses before you step on them?
Why does this require a lot of pen?
We'll get you up first, sir.
Well, how about giving me a new pen?
Hold on. We're going to get you up first. We're going to talk to you, all right?
I can stand up by myself.
No, we're going to get you up.
Shame on you for hurting him.
Stand up by myself. I'm not a terrorist.
Sir, get up when you
I'm a CIA alumnus.
Throw them on the side.
27 years analyst and operations.
Now sit up, sir.
Waterboarding can never.
Sir, are you going to stand up for us, sir?
I'll stand up.
All right, never come on, stand up, please.
Never be declared. Oh,
come on and stand up for us.
Okay, let me in here. Now you going to pick up my glasses.
Sir, we'll take care of that. We just want to get you up first, all right?
Okay.
All right.
Waterboarding.
Come on and stand up.
Can never be told.
Come on and stand up. Come on, have a seat.
She personally supervised it in Thailand.
Come on and stand up.
First black site. That's not a secret.
Stand up, sir.
That's only a secret because she won't recuse herself. She won't deep my left or left.
All right, look.
My left one is dislocated. All right. I'll go out, yeah.
All right.
I'll go out. But I wish you wouldn't beat up an old man, huh?
You decided that you wanted to demonstrate.
I was an officer, too.
You decided that you wanted to demonstrate. I was an officer, too.
Well, these guys, are the thugs that actually torture people.
Come on this way.
Shame on you for hurting him.
CIA analyst and operations person.
It was unnecessarily excessive.
Thank you.
Can be classified, but it cannot.
The show of force is overwhelming. I almost couldn't watch it. It was that bad. And then what's happening is that you start hearing all the clicking of camera and media and people out there filming. And you can see the guy in charge come out and immediately recognize what a absolute shit show this is becoming. And it's a media disaster. So he starts telling his guys to back up and get off. And then all of a sudden, like a switch, the same people that just drug him out and threw him on the ground and dislocated his shoulder are all, oh, are you okay? Let me help you up. And they start being all nice to him. It frustrates you to see this kind of thing, knowing how on a dime they switch the way that they're acting because they know that they're being filmed. And the point was that they were clearly given a directive to get them out of there as quick as possible. Anyone that speaks up needs to go, right? And then they drag him out. And the most important part here is they stand him up. And they're still being very forceful with him. They're telling, he's like, look, I can leave. I'm fine. And he goes, but I wish you wouldn't have beat up on an old man. And the guy in charge leaned forward and said, well, you chose to protest. And I think he really slipped up when he said that. Because think about what that means. He told him right to his face that this is what happens when you protest in America. I mean, what happens to your rights here? The point is that he's making it very clear that you're going to get beat up, dragged out, your shoulder dislocated if you even try to protest. I mean, that is absolutely crazy. Again, you could argue that that wasn't the most ideal setting. But the point was, this is not a violent man. He wasn't ultimately hurting anybody. How easy would it have been for two of them to simply pull him outside and tell him to leave? But no, they forcefully pick him up, slam his head on the bench, throw him on the ground, begin to dislocate his shoulder until they recognize they're being seen, and then they start backing off, and then they arrest him. They handcuff him and take him outside. And it's just, a girlie in the background even says, you should be ashamed of yourself. Of course they should. But this is such a clear, obvious insight into the police state, the very police state that Ray McGovern actively talks about. And this is what we're seeing take place. Even though we have this flowery idea of how America's different and we have our rights, and to some degree we do. I mean, I'm sitting here speaking to you about things, even though we could argue that it's being censored and manipulated and suppressed. But the point is that it's there still. But there's ways around that. It's, you know, 50 years ago, there was different ways things were done. With the internet and the way things are spread today, they're very smart about the way they carry these things out. Propaganda, social programming, there's ways to make you think you have things that you actually don't. And this is a perfect example of that. And moving on to the next story coming from theantimedia.com, watch, Haspel won't admit CIA torture refuses to say if torture is immoral.
So one question I've not heard you answer is, do you believe that the previous interrogation techniques were immoral?
Senator, I believe that CIA officers to whom you referred...
It's a yes or no answer. Do you believe the previous interrogation techniques were immoral? I'm not asking, do you believe they were legal? I'm asking, do you believe they were immoral?
Senator, I believe that CIA did extraordinary work to prevent another attack on this country, given the legal tools that we were authorized to use.
Please answer yes or no. Do you believe in hindsight that those techniques were immoral?
Senator, what I believe sitting here today is that I support the higher moral standard we have decided to hold ourselves to.
Can you please answer the question?
Senator, I think I've answered the question.
No, you've not. Do you believe the previous techniques, now armed with hindsight, do you believe they were immoral? Yes or no?
Senator, I believe that we should hold ourselves to the moral standard outlined in the Army Field Manual.
Okay, so I understand that you've not answered the question, but I'm going to move on.
I understand that Donald Trump himself has openly talked about the fact that they think torture works and that waterboarding should be used and he's going to kill the families of the terrorists. I mean, all these things we've heard him say verbatim. And now we're having the very person that was involved in this at the head of the CIA. I mean, regardless of whether she says yes or no, whether she's going to do it or I will disobey an order. We're seeing it laid out right in front of us. We have to be absolutely willfully ignorant to think that this is not exactly where this is heading. And it's just frustrating to see her refuse to answer these questions when all we want to know is, do you think that was wrong? Right? And she just refuses to answer. And moving on to the final story coming from the Ron Paul Institute, Congress to greenlight perpetual global war. Now, this is one that we've covered many times. We're talking about the authorization for use of military force, the War Powers Act, and the idea that Ron Paul often brings up that ultimately what we're seeing with these things is a feigned effort to try to rein in these war powers when all they're really doing is writing into law the very things they've been doing illegally this whole time. And so it's incredibly frustrating to see this happen. Ron Paul often says that he feels that they're doing this with the right intentions. I argue the opposite. I think that these people are well aware of what they're doing. And whether you're talking about lobbyists or whatever means of control are making them do it, I think they're not stupid enough to think that these bills are not going to give unfettered war powers to the person in the White House. And that's what I think this is coming down to. Under the new bill, the executive branch has the power to essentially go to war with anyone they choose. They are, however, required to tell Congress they are in a new country after 48 hours. And then after another 60 days of destruction in that country, the Congress then has the option to vote to pull out. But it needs 2/3 to do so. Yet, ridiculously, then the president can veto it anyway. It's really just a big farce, but there's really nothing new there. And up until this point, it's basically been the kind of go-to measure to essentially call it, oh, look, well, ISIS is in that country, so the United States is able to just go in there, disregard the Constitution, and invade a country based on the premise of fighting some kind of, you know, phantom terror threat. But in this bill, it actually lists a bunch of different ambiguous names and basically making the claim that if they deem those entities to be in any country, that they can just essentially go in and start war there. And as Ron Paul makes very clear, they make a point of not naming any specific country, as he says, because they want to be able to go into any country at any time. All they have to do is claim to be fighting any one of these groups. And under this bill, it's an open door to invade that country. And remember that most of these groups at one point or another have been funded and supported by the U.S. And many would say a U.S.-Saudi-Israel creation entirely. I mean, we've shown many times how Al-Qaeda, for instance, has essentially become an American ally in Syria and other locations, despite that being the group of extreme focus after 9/11, what this war was built on, the excuse for all of it. So it's very interesting to see how they play this game of fighting these terrorists, but not these terrorists. These terrorists we support. You know, it's this big farce. And I think we have to begin to see through all of it. It has to begin to become transparent that this is just a way for them to continue to carry out war around the world for any number of reasons, not least of which is to continue to bloat the military budget and the military-industrial complex, which is completely controlled by all these munitions companies that have a lot of money tied up in this. I mean, just think about this. We're already spending more than the next 8 countries combined on our military budget, yet we always claim to need more. Because every time this increases, these people need to maintain this level that they're at. And the only way they continue to make more money is if we increase that military budget. So this is just, we have to understand how much control these companies have over the politics in this country. And that's what we're seeing play out. And this bill is just another way to ensure, written into law, that war is ultimately never ending. As the point we made just yesterday, that there are people in this country that have been born and lived their entire lives under war. A country that claims to be spreading freedom around the world, yet all they've ever known is war their entire lives. And what has it accomplished? More war, more decimation of countries around the world. So what do we do in the face of such obvious disregard for both our constitutional rights and the rightful part the American people are meant to play in all of this? They disgracefully pretend to be standing for freedom and liberty, yet Here we are supporting the true terrorist states of the world while bombing their enemies under false pretenses. Here we are making open-ended perpetual plans to go to war all around the world, invading countries for power, profit, and control, and being forcefully physically shut down when we ask for actual transparency, when we try to stand up for our rights, our rightful place as the leaders of this country's true direction. This is a charade, an insult, a disgraceful display of puppetry that is viciously defended by those clinging to the hope that the words falling from these false leaders' mouths are anything but disingenuously obvious and patronizing lies meant to give the illusion of choice and democracy. Yet no matter how hopeless they may make you feel or how much they take away from us, I can promise you one thing. I will never stop fighting for what I believe this country is capable of becoming. And I hope you will all do the same. For more information on the topics discussed, make sure you check out thelastamericanvagabond.com or one of the important independent sources in the show notes below. And as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.